I am Susan Young. I'm the chair of the Management Selection and Review Committee. Today is our meeting of September 16th, 2024, and we start at 6:09. Will the secretary take the roll? If you need me to, I can do it.
I can do it. Alan is present. David Britton?
Here.
Okay, thank you, David. Adriana Casanave?
Here.
Thank you, Adriana. Joseph Davis? Not hearing Joseph. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Thank you, Lyndon. Bob Gartner? Not hearing Bob. Rob Lee?
Rob requested an excused absence.
Okay. Cheryl Lynn?
Present.
Thank you. Sean McPherson? Mac?
I am.
Thank you very much, Mac. Corey Mercer? Not hearing yet. Stuart Nance?
I'm present.
Thank you very much, Stuart. Frank Pratka? Not hearing him. Oops. Jane Tyler?
She requested an excused absence.
All right. Susan Young?
Yes, and you missed Marianne Martinez, I think.
I'll have it. She's next. Marianne Martinez? I'm not hearing her. Anybody see her? Guess not. Not?
No, it's up to you.
Okay, and I guess Sandy Wyman is excused absence or not here. Okay.
So we have quorum. Thank you.
Yes.
And others may join us, but we'll get started. First is approving the agenda. The agenda is convene and have roll call September 16th, starting at 6. We started late. Then approve the agenda, then approve minutes of 8:20, our prior meeting minutes. I think I may have the wrong date there. Next is discuss process and schedule for permanent GM search. Next is update on the NDAs, all of the mea culpas about it. Then confirm next meeting date. We've got October 21 here. We need to decide if that is a meeting date that works for us. And then adjourn. Are there any objections to this agenda?
First, Madam Chair, can we excuse Rob Lee and Jane Scheidler that asked for an excuse absent?
Thank you, Robert Gardner.
Thank you.
And Robert Gardner, did Robert also request an excused absence?
I'm requesting that because I know he's having so many issues.
Okay. So is there any objection to excusing
the I object.
Okay. So of Robert or of the other two? All?
All.
All. Okay. So may we excuse those absences, noting that Lyndon does not objects to excusing those absences. All right. So the excused absences are Jane Scheidler, Robert Gartner, and Rob Lee.
Okay.
Thank you. Next is approve minutes. I apologize. Teresa, did you get the minutes out? And what is the date of the last meeting?
Bear with me 1 minute.
Madam Chair, can we postpone it? Because we didn't receive the minutes. Yes.
I think Teresa may have sent them out. I didn't find them. I'm agreeing with you, Adriana. So, if there's no objection, we will postpone consideration of those minutes until the next meeting. Hearing none, we'll postpone consideration. That's great.
The last meeting was August 5th.
Thank you, Stuart.
Which I did not attend because I couldn't connect.
Correction. The last meeting of the KPFT MSRC was August 19th.
Excuse me. I have the wrong date.
Okay.
May have been one problem with connecting time travel.
Yes, was August 19th, the last one.
Thank you.
But no problem. I will send them, I will send it out right now. Because I don't know that we've sent it out before. I will send it out right now. Sorry
for the. It takes a village, y'all. Okay. The subject of tonight's meeting is, discussing the challenge that we have been given by the local station board to initiate the process of a search for a permanent GM. The responsibility of the local station board is to develop a pool of candidates from which the ED selects a general manager. We are the local station boards can handle this in different ways. Our local station board has charged our committee with developing a process, reporting back to the board, and continuing to put the pieces together. I sent out a draft for consideration of this process, or at least for us to start the conversation. Stuart, you've got your hand up.
Unmute.
Sorry about that. I clicked in the wrong spot and lost the screen. Susan, what I wanted to ask was clarification on the definition of an interim general manager. The reason I'm asking is that it's my understanding that other Pacifica stations also have interim GMs. And what I'm trying to figure out is, does interim, is it synonymous with unpaid? Can you have a interim general manager who's also paid?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And so the desirability here is, or the task that we're undertaking is to find a permanent general manager because that's deemed to be desirable. And the idea is that we're going to pay that person.
Correct. And one of the items that I've got in the explanation or in the start for discussion is what the proposed posting is as a salary. Now the interim GM, this current interim GM could be paid. In fact, two current interim GMs are paid, WPFW and WBAI. KPFT and KPFK were both volunteers. All five are interims. Antonio at KPFKTA is also an interim. It's not a good idea for us to be staying in an interim capacity. We should be moving to a permanent capacity. And there are different levels of confusion at different places. And so with KPFT, we're wanting to move forward. We do have sufficient resources to post a salary. That's one of the things we'll be discussing. This is open session, so everything we're talking about here can be heard by the general public. I'll get right back to you again, Adriana. The salary posting that I propose we use and that I have discussed with the ED is $45,000. Our revenues are uncertain, though we have been building up our revenues, but whoever would come in that position would have to be able to be sure to fundraise to the level of their own salary and the salaries of a working team we would want to try to build. Adriana, then Stuart.
Yes, you answered with the 45,000, but what we heard in the last LSB meeting, and I think that Lyndon will clarify that better, we are not at that level yet. I agree that we should work and prepare for this, but we need to be sure that at least we have that money, because it's true. I mean, the idea is to have a permanent general manager that is paid, and then have certain obligation and have a job to fulfill, and we can ask if the person is a paid person. If it's volunteer, it's difficult to, you know, to ask that person for, they say, well, I'm doing the best that I can. I think that the ideal is having a paid one. I agree with that issue, but I want to be sure how we solve the income for this. Thank you.
So there are a number of people who might be able to answer those questions, and there's a variety of them, and they're very important. Stuart and Cheryl mind if I try to give a shot at that, and if Lyndon perhaps participates?
That's fine. That's
exactly my question. Yeah, let's do it that way.
Mine in the process.
Okay, great. So we have a bank balance at this moment that would permit us to fund that salary. And so the question of what can we afford is something that is there's no precise answer for it. We have got to continue to have successful fund drives as we have at the level that we have to be able to support this salary. Additionally, I think anyone would want to be able to start to build a team with more people who were paid. So it's a balancing act about what do we move forward on or not. Part of, I think, the conversation we should have with candidates for this position is for
Excuse
them
me.
To demonstrate their
Excuse
understanding
me.
Of the budget.
May we ask somebody, Mac, could you please mute your phone, Mac? Excuse me.
Yes, I'm so sorry.
No problem. Thank you.
So that demonstration of, I think, a very critical element in whoever we interview will be, how do they understand financial management of a radio station, how you build a revenue stream, how you build capability. We're looking at people essentially to help us with the equivalent of a startup business. Now, these processes typically take a long time. So WPFW has already been in their effort for 6 months, for more than 6 months. I think that we can make ours go faster. But we will, if we wait until we have an assured budget for several years, we're going to continue with an unpaid or a partially paid person. We could go ahead and pay Sandy. We could pay him at a level that we can afford. I think it's not appropriate for him to continue as an interim general manager. That is really not appropriate under labor law. So I think our conversation would need to be, will we recommend to the ED that she hires our current IGM as permanent at some variable salary? So those are conversations that I'm afraid that we may need to have, but I think this is the time to initiate those conversations. Adriana.
Yeah, we know that we are in open session. I prefer if we don't use names.
Apologies, you're absolutely right.
Because, you know, we are always, it's always somebody waiting to sue us for something. And I hope that we don't use
Thank you for the correction. I hope that, I mean, our current GM, IGM, I should say. Stuart.
Yeah, so I guess the question I was wondering is, I understand what you said, Susan, about we currently have money in the bank that's sufficient to pay a general manager at some level. My question is, we just went through a budgeting process, and what we were told, and I didn't sit in all the finance committee meetings, but I heard some of them, and maybe Lyndon's going to tell us. I don't recall that we budgeted any money to pay a GM, and I'm concerned about the submission of a budget and the approval process, both by the LSB and ultimately the Pacifica National Board, that doesn't have it and then say, okay, but we're, despite the fact that it's not budgeted, we're going to pay it anyway. So how do we get around that?
Lyndon, would you like to address that?
Yes. And as far as it not being in the budget, you know, a budget is a budget. It's not, you know, it would be great if we could submit that budget and it would come out exactly like we put it, right? But it's not, we can't guarantee that. But in the budget, we did show that we have a little over $11,000 that would be considered net income. Plus, we had somewhere over $28,000 that's a depreciation expense. And so that is non-cash. We don't actually spend that. So you would add that into your cash flow. And so that's $40,000 right there. And plus whatever Sandy, minimal salary that Sandy,
GM.
Not south of the GM has, you know, at $15 an hour. I think that would make the $45,000. So it is in our budget. And I think that we should be able to, we should be able to handle our budget, our business as we, you know, see fit. And, you know, and especially with the ED's approval and our LSB approval. And I don't think we're misleading anybody on the PNB.
I guess what I'm asking, Lyndon, is if it was the difference between, oh, we estimated it was going to be 20,000 and it's 22,000, then that's that there's a number there and it turned out the number was slightly off. I mean, we over collected revenues for the August fund drive. So we've got some excess cash above budget levels. But my point is, if you budgeted zero, and I understand about the depreciation and the fact that there's other funds, but to go from zero to a number is, to me, that sounds unbudgeted that we didn't. And so I'm not an expert on the bylaws or the approval process or whether it needs to be amended. But what I'm saying is that the idea that we're going to pay a general manager when the budget that we recently processed and passed had zero, we need to think about that. That's all.
Thank you. Yeah, and I've been in you've been in business, right? And I just don't think that that has any is relative at all or doesn't matter at all, really. I mean, when management decides that we're going to do this and we have the money in the budget, you don't stop, you know, you don't keep yourself, hold yourself back because your budget that you did, you know, 6 months ago doesn't have that number in it. I mean, you just don't do that, in my opinion.
So, Adriana, do you mind if I contribute to this little conversation?
And could you identify the call-in user one?
Oh, thank you for doing that. Yeah. Call-in user one, please identify yourself.
You may or may not be referring to me, but members of the public aren't required to identify themselves.
Can't hear you.
It's one of our New York directors.
Would you please say your name? If you were a director,
what they are saying is
her point is she's not required to.
Don't have to.
No, actually, she is as a director attending a committee meeting. She is required to identify herself.
Not if it's a public meeting.
You're only here because you're a director. You would not be on the Zoom call if you were not a director, period. You could listen in, but you would not be. It's Serene Roberts. Okay, let's continue. And I'll note in the minutes that Serene Roberts was on the call. So the budget, the way that the budgets are put together, you have to project off of the prior year. We didn't have a GM in the prior year. We were not certain when we would be able to afford a GM. And it is basically it's a fund drive to fund drive kind of a calculation. We did a major turnaround in 2022, 2023. So we're not sure how sustainable those are. But regardless, we need to move out of having an interim general manager to having a permanent general manager. And part of that conversation is, what can we afford? That conversation needs to happen with a combination of the local station board, the candidates for the GM position, the ED, and probably the business manager. And we're starting that process now. It's that, I mean, it's uncertain and it's unhappy. We should not have an interim general manager at all five stations. There are two places where those changes were recent and they make sense. There are three where we've been in that position for a long time. And we are being strongly encouraged by the executive director to set up the search processes, the bylaws mandated LSB search process to come up with a pool of general manager candidates for the ED to select. And I got an okay from the ED for us to post for $45,000 as the salary. Adriana.
Yes, thank you. Basically, Stuart, what they say is absolutely the correct way. I mean, the business is exactly the same. A budget is an idea, it's a projection, but situation change, and it's nothing that legally tell you that you cannot do it because you didn't put it in the budget. When you have a situation like we have, I think that legally is much, much better for KPFD and for the foundation to have permanent employees with all the law that apply that have that temporary or interim, because legally is not a good term. That why it's a perfect situation to, if we have the budget, as in we have the money. But I have some other questions too, because for example, we know that we don't have yet the audits. We are so late in the audits because we don't have money. Is any way that other stations or we are getting money from somewhere? Because that affects us too. We are part of the foundation. If the foundation fails, KPFD is part of this. That is what worry me. You know? Yes. No.
Go ahead.
That's okay.
So let me, before I answer your question, Adriana, based on, you know, my understanding of what the situation is, who is caller 1438? Is that Sean or is that Nancy? Who's that? Who is caller 1438?
I recognize 1438. I'll bet you a dollar that's Nancy.
Nancy, nice. You cannot be on this Zoom. You can listen in, but you cannot be, you can listen to the stream, but you can't be on this Zoom. Let's just note that Nancy cannot be a participant. So.
But it's posted. It's posted as a public meeting. The telephone number, the meeting ID, and the passcode, and that is proper for public comment.
Listen, I will ask to adjourn this meeting if you disrupt it. All right. Thank you for not talking anymore.
Meeting.
Don't talk anymore.
Posted meeting. You're supposed to have public comment at every meeting.
No.
No.
So,
Nancy, from the bylaws, no person shall be required as a condition for attendance at a public meeting to publicly comment or register their name. I mean,
can you take her off the stream? Can Otis take her off the stream?
I'm calling Otis now.
Thank you.
Or Teresa, can I ask you to call Otis while I continue to conduct the meeting?
Okay, thank you.
The question about the situation for the system as a whole, as you well know, Adriana, because you've been on the PNB, The system is in very bad shape. However, frankly, with good management by our ED, We're managing to retire debt and achieve solvency at many of the stations, and system wide, we now are in the black, which is just amazing. There is a real estate transaction pending that will help to retire more debt, and will help to and will permit things like the audit, and so we're anticipating that reports at the in executive session on the national board about the progress of that. Nothing I can report here, but we do anticipate having revenues by the end of the year that will permit us to catch up with our audits. Let me just note for the secretary's on the phone. Tori Mercer has arrived. Thank you very much. But all of us are trying. We have to do the best that we can now to manage in a responsible way within the resources that we have, understanding that we're in a situation of a great deal of uncertainty. Stuart, your hand's back up.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify. I'm not advocating that we not pay a general manager. I think it's a great idea. What I'm trying to do is keep us from encountering issues down the road because somebody else says, hey, what are you doing? You can't hire this person or that person because it was never approved in the budget. So I think it's great. I think we should consider, as you said, Susan, that whoever we place in this position pays for themselves and then some, and that maybe even some type of incentive compensation be created so that they can, in fact, earn their keep and we can justify it. So I don't want to be misunderstood. I'm not advocating that we not find a permanent GM. I'm simply trying to anticipate potential objections and address them up front that, okay, interim doesn't mean paid or unpaid. We're talking about paying somebody, and we have the ability to do it. So thank you.
Stuart, your clarification is incredibly valuable. And I think you serving on the LSB, you know, you've gotten some greater awareness of the complexities of governance and how they run parallel to management, and that it's very important for those who make the decisions, the PNB that makes a decision about the budget, to be kept adequately apprised of what the changes are. I will say that having run businesses myself, I think that our processes are inadequate in the extreme, and that I think KPFT has done a good job of understanding. You put in place a budget and a plan based on the best information you have at the time, and based on, and the best information is what you've actually accomplished in the recent past. So we've gotten over that hurdle, and we're discussing in you know, the personnel committee and the national board and so forth about the status of moving into permanent GM positions and so forth, and that is important. And so we're just doing that homework here. You're right to bring it up, because we have got to we've got to make sure that everybody who is a part of this understands the framing, and you've really brought up an important issue, both you and Adriana. So both our LSB and our PNB need to understand this. Okay.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Madam Chair, I apologize. I think it's my error that I posted the Zoom information. Even though this is a call, this committee is only for LSB members. I accidentally posted this, I think it would be better if we allow this person to stay on the call if she says nothing.
Okay, we're all fine. I'm okay with that, and we don't really have a good other option. Please note, Madam Secretary, that Tori Mercer has joined. Tori, would you mind saying hi?
Well, hello, hello.
Yeah.
So, who are we? Who are the two callers that I'm talking to that I don't see?
Okay, one of them is, caller user number one is a director, Serene Roberts. She is, represents New York, and all directors are permitted, to come to listen in on, committees of the LSVs, even in executive session. The other is someone who, as the secretary pointed out, it was a mistake. She got the, link.
But we know who they are, the 1438.
Right, but can stay unannounced. Okay, are there other questions, or shall I go ahead and start the, I've sent out to everybody, on this call, what my suggestions are about the place to start the conversation of initiating the GM search process. Shall I go ahead and read, and then people can ask questions or make comments paragraph by paragraph. General manager selection process. The process for hiring a permanent general manager is specified in the bylaws, where the local station board develops a pool of candidates, may rank the candidates, and must explain the reason if only one candidate is recommended. The executive director has the sole responsibility about the person to hire from among the pool of candidates. Note that the executive director has latitude to hire an interim GM. Interim general manager is not subject to these requirements. On September 11th, 2024, the KPFT local station board authorized the KPFT management selection and review committee, that's us, to initiate the process to develop a pool of candidates for the KPFT permanent general manager position. The proposed items for discussion at the 9/16/2024 meeting, this meeting, are: job description is the standard provided by the executive director. So I think there have been different conversations with people when they've stepped into interim general manager. We will be using the standard job description. Salary posting for KPFT that we have been authorized is $45,000. Job listing to be posted on our station website, Pacifica.org, Pacifica Affiliates Network, and standard industry bulletin boards. Letters of interest with credentials are to be sent to a secure email address and will be kept confidential. One of the things that's most important is that people who are putting their names in may have other jobs and may not want the world to know that they're putting in their name for this position. And so maintaining confidentiality of those who submit their names is of key importance. And I will, as I promised over and over again and have failed to do, I'll follow up on collecting all the NDAs. Cheryl.
I was just curious. You said that all letters of interest will go to a private email. Who monitors
secure.
That?
Secure.
That's fine. Sorry, my mistake. Who monitors it?
I'm going to ask the executive director.
I just want to make sure no emails are missed. You know, we've had some.
Yeah, no, I understand. And that's one of the reasons why I think it needs, I'm going to talk to her about setting up a special email for that purpose.
As ED, is she overwhelmed to the point that that would be difficult, or just curious?
I think she's our best option, and I think she can handle it. And she is she's extremely well organized.
Okay.
And
all right,
yeah, it's a good question, but I think she can handle it. Adriana.
I like the idea, but don't you think that will be just to be safe, as Cheryl said, why don't we use two? One will be the executive director and the other could be the, you know, the chair of the MSRC, of KPFT MSRC. Just to be in the safe side.
Adriana, I think that's an excellent recommendation, and I will add that to this procedure if there are no objections.
I don't have an objection, but I have a question.
Sure.
If memory serves, and I could be very wrong on this, you have asked previously because you were so fingers so in so many pies for other people to assist. And I'm just wondering if the second person might be someone other than you. Also, I notice in all the emails you've been sending out, you're doing a great job of staying impartial and neutral. So I'm just throwing that on the table, and whatever the committee decides, I'm fine with it.
Teresa.
I think that our chair has experience because she's chair of the PNB, and I think she can handle that, to try to stay on top of that anyway. So I'm happy with her taking responsibility and CC sent to the executive director.
Just to be clear, I was not at all trying to imply you weren't capable. I was thinking you might not be wishful to have that extra burden.
No, Cheryl, believe you me,
Can we ask the vice chair, Cheryl, to be a second person? And I'm sorry, but Miriam Martinez is on, secretary.
Oh, thank you for recognizing that. Okay, so two things here. Miriam, would you mind speaking up and letting us confirm that you're here?
Present.
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Let me say, Adriana, that I think the idea of Cheryl, if she's willing to do that, that would be excellent. She is the vice chair of the board. She's brought up the offer to help, and I would appreciate it. Cheryl, are you willing to do that?
I'm willing if there's a vote and people want that, because I'm not sure that people do want that.
I should say, I don't know that we need a vote. If there are any objections or if people have other options to offer, are there any objections to Cheryl serving in that capacity? Teresa, I can't hear you.
Capacity, she's going to be in charge of getting all the NDAs?
Well, actually, already Jane has offered to accept all the NDAs, and she was last year's vice chair.
So what is Cheryl?
Cheryl is this year's vice chair, and she and the ED will both receive the candidate submissions.
Okay.
I think if we can spread these responsibilities out, frankly, it would be a very big help.
Okay, so I move that Cheryl Lynn accept the NDAs for this committee for this purpose, and that the executive director be CC'd.
It's not the NDAs, Teresa. It's the actual job applications.
Oh, okay. All right. So I move that Cheryl Lynn, the secretary of the LSB, accept all job applications.
She's the vice chair.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I move that Cheryl Lynn, the vice chair of the KPFT LSB, accept all job applications, and that the executive director be CC'd.
We already did it and we approved it. Nobody was against.
No, actually, I asked if there were any objections, and Teresa asked questions, and then she made this motion. So are there any objections to the motion as framed by Teresa? Hearing none. That's great. Excellent. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. So the where it says letters of interest with credentials are to be sent to the vice chair, the LSB vice chair, and CC to the ED. Okay. The next part of the outline that I offered was that we need to set up a schedule. And part of the conversation that we have been having about, you know, how much money do we have and how much do we know we'll have and so forth goes into this. So I think that I'd like for us to be able to post as soon as possible. What I had recommended is posting on KPFT, on our own website, on the National Pacific.org website, on all of the affiliates, and asked the ED for what our national, appropriate industry posting boards. And perhaps I could ask, maybe I could ask Cheryl's assistance in our putting together, figuring out what the postings have been. Maybe the ED can give us advice about that, about how to make the posting and get that done as soon as possible. Adriana, you've got your hand up.
Yes, Madam Chair, I agree we should, decide how the ad is and where to put it. But don't you think that it's important that we have a job description? Because most people, when you answer an ad, you want to know what are you answer to, what is expected from you. That is my only...
Yeah. So the first thing that I said in reading through this is, we will use the standard job description for general manager. There is a standard job description.
Can you send it to all of us?
Yes. Cheryl, sorry to bother you, but may I help you? May I ask you to help get that job description out to everybody?
If you get it to me, I can get it to everybody.
You bet. It is the standard that is actually, I believe, posted somewhere on the national website. So we'll get that. Great.
I'm sorry. Just to be clear, sorry if this is a blonde moment. Doesn't it just require sending it to the LSB as opposed to me or only members of this committee?
Actually, I think it's okay. I think it's okay for it to go to the entire LSB. The LSB has charged us with putting together the process.
So why don't we just save that step and you just send it to the LSB?
Okay. Adriana.
Yeah, I agree to the whole LSB because remember that we, at the management selection review, we make the pool of candidates, but the LSB approve after us, the LSB approved the pool of candidates. Then we'll be interesting, and obviously everybody knows in the LSB what we are working on. Yeah.
We agree. Absolutely. So I'm going to get the job description, and I'm going to forward it to the entire LSB, and I'll give a quick note about our progress on this committee.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Did you also offer to make sure that all of the postings go out? And should we ask the committee if there's any objection to you handling that responsibility?
Thank you for asking.
No objection from me.
Okay, great. So, yeah, Lyndon, you've got a look on your face that says you might want to say something.
Yeah, I wasn't sure that we were at that point yet. I mean, yeah. We haven't formulated all the, Indeeds of the world and things like that. So we don't have that. We don't have the job description in front of us. So I just thought it was getting a little far out over our skis.
I think you're right, Lyndon. And so what I suggest is that the next step will be I'll circulate the job description. Cheryl will set up the secure email and for us to be able to post, and we will and I'll craft up a suggested posting notice, and we'll review it with the committee. Cheryl.
I was not aware that I said I would set up a secure email. I have no idea how to do that. Unless it is simply my actual email that only I monitor, I doubt that's qualified as secure.
What can we talk about this conundrum after the meeting?
Yes, as long as it's not in the minutes that I committed to set up a secure email.
Right. So, WPFW, the secretary had a dedicated email for that purpose. There's ended up being some contention around it. So that's why I would like it to be something that is clearly neutral and clearly secure. And Cheryl, I appreciate your helping on this. And why don't you and I put our heads together with the ED about how to deal with it?
That's okay with the rest of the committee. That's fine with me.
Great.
So point of information?
Yes.
Okay. So Chair, you're taking the ultimate responsibility then to make sure we have a secure email for this position. I mean, for this task. And you're also making sure that the postings get handled somehow, right?
Yes, although I agree with Lyndon's eyebrows that we're we're not at the posting moment, okay. That what we need to do is to circulate to the committee what the posting is. And okay. I would also like, you know, I've identified the places where I think we want to post. If people have other ideas about appropriate places to post, you know, for instance, maybe it's on all of the Pacifica websites, station websites. So I'd like feedback about those matters. Okay.
Got it. Posting date. Question. We have a question.
Sure.
Or a statement. I'd like to, we might want to stay away from the word secure because I mean, it's not like we're the CIA or something. I don't know how. If anybody's going to be trying to hack Susan or Cheryl's emails to find out, you know, what's going on, but it may not be the definition of secure that some people think it is.
Designated.
I think that's a good one, Teresa. Thank you very much. Word crafting. Secure was aspirational. Cheryl.
I just wanted to thank Adriana. She just texted me that she would help me with that. So I think we can handle it together, probably. Getting something secure, dedicated, whatever. But thank you, Adriana.
What is it? Teamwork makes the dream work?
Indeed, especially when it comes to technology and me.
I'm with you. Okay. The submission, we'll need the submission date deadline. We'll need, I suggest that, I'm not sure how many people will submit, but I suggest that we put together a chart of the people who submitted their candidacies, of their qualifications so that there is a, you know, kind of a clear array, how many years and this and this and this, experience in radio, you know, technical degrees, whatever. To be able to initiate the process, I want us to be very careful about what happens with the bios. That is highly confidential. People don't want theirs to get out and they don't want to see each other's, you know, or I mean, they might want to see each other. So I want us to be very cautious about that. I think we need to develop, questions. Figure out, actually, first, how many do we interview? And we need a set of questions for interviews that are standard, that are delivered the same to everybody, including, as our board secretary has advised, follow-up questions, not like, oh, wow, you know, I love playing golf, too. What's your handicap? But rather, can you expound on what you've brought up about blah, blah, blah? Adriana.
Yes, the way that was done before, and I think that makes sense. First of all, we need to develop that list of questions. But I believe that the first thing that we need to do is see the job description, because the question will have a lot to do with the job description that we are posting. What I'm suggesting that we have a meeting, maybe before next month, we can set another meeting and all of us individually or by email, whatever everybody wants, we can develop some question, read all of that. And then in the next meeting, we will have something that we can agree on disagree. And what we did before, when we were interviewing candidates, we were doing it by Zoom, obviously, and it's an executive session. And what we did, we always select two people one man and one woman that was reading the questions, and obviously need to be the same for every candidate, and then could be follow-up questions, obviously. But, you know, I think that is a best way, because then, you know, it's easier when it's the same person. It's not any doubts when it's the same person asking the question, the same voices, okay, representing all of us, obviously. I hope that we can decide all of that in our next meeting, and we don't need to wait till the next month. We can do that before.
I think you're absolutely right. First, I think that, yes, it's hard to have these conversations without having the proposed posting and the job description in hand. So yes, I think that's the next right step, and we need to meet soon. So later in the meeting, shortly in the meeting, I'll ask people for when would be a good time to do that. And we are coming to the end of the meeting time. The questions about how to conduct the questioning in a way that is fair and standard, so that one candidate does not have a different experience from the other candidates, is something that I agree you've obviously given a lot of thought to. And that's something that I think we should discuss again at a future meeting. I think the next question we're really at is, when is the best time for us to meet next? I know that there's at least some on this call who prefer to not meet on Mondays. Would Wednesday be possible? Maybe next Wednesday.
I'm good with next Wednesday or next Monday.
Is next Wednesday giving us enough time to get certain things done? I'm not quite sure by official vote exactly what we're going to do between now and Wednesday.
I just
don't want to make a meeting date not allowing us enough time to get something done from meeting to meeting.
I understand what you're saying. And I think and Teresa's put her finger on the good question. How much time do we need to be able to generate to get ourselves all up to speed to have a really productive meeting next time? And my thought was the major thing that we need to have is the job descriptions in hand. Also, I need to bring the NDAs to task, and I think we can have available the draft posting and perhaps an update on the dedicated email contact. Can we handle that by next Wednesday or the following Wednesday? Cheryl, hand up.
Am I correct in my understanding that you already have the draft, job position description?
It's not draft. It's the adopted job description used by the national office.
Okay. So to prepare, all we need is for Adriana and I to get the dedicated line and for some people to have some idea of questions. I'm not sure that takes even more than 24 hours, right?
Well, yeah, it does. one thing we need to note, we need to put in a notice, so we can't do it in a 24-hour period. I agree with you about the urgency of moving forward. I suggest we do that by next Wednesday. Adriana.
Yeah, I agree. I think that a week and 2 days extra will be enough, because in reality, most of the committee need to try to think in the question that they think that will be appropriate. We can discuss that, because we can do that in open session. Just we have the discussion of the questions. I don't know.
You've brought up an important issue in my mind. And Cheryl, you are very diligent, so you might be able to get this done in 24 hours. I, on the other hand, need more time. Adriana, I would really appreciate your thoughts about what needs to be in open and what needs to be in closed session. So this whole, have this meeting in open session, figuring that the fact that we're going forward on a GM posting should be all open, that the qualifications are you know, will be posted openly. What are your thoughts about what needs to be enclosed and what needs to be an open session?
I believe that the more that you can have open is the most transparent. If we don't mention, if we don't use names, the rest would be all public. Even how we think, if we think that some questions, you know, all of that could be totally open. I don't think that that is require any executive session. Require executive session when we talk about specific issues, right? And when we talk probably about what is the email address, the specific, maybe that. But the rest, the questions and how what we think about the job description, I don't think that that need to be in closed session. That could be totally open, maybe.
Thank you. Thank you. Gives me more comfort. So how about next Wednesday, not this Wednesday, week from Wednesday. What day is that?
It is the 25th of September.
25th. Yes.
Okay.
And there's no conflict on KPFTX.
Great.
Let's do that. In an automobile. 100 miles an hour, only me at the wheel. I want it.
Hey, Mac.
Yes,
he drops my attire.
Okay, so how about 6 p.m. Zoom and open session. Are there any, is there any new old business? Are we ready to adjourn? I know Teresa and I have got a meeting in a little bit.
I would just like to recap what people are asked to do between this meeting and the 25th. What are we asking the committee to do?
To read the job description that they will send us and elaborate some questions that we think that will be pertinent for candidates. That's it.
I think there's one more thing, and that would be every one of us taking responsibility for searching our mail for the most recent NDA and go ahead and get that to Jane so that should anything come up that we would like to go to executive session, we could.
I think that's great. I will also send it out one more time.
And we're asking that people send them out to send these to Jane Scheidler.
To Jane Scheidler, right.
What's the time on the 25th?
6 p.m.
Okay. And
Susan, could you go ahead and just send us the most recent NDA again, please?
I will.
Okay, to the whole board. Okay, thanks.
Yes.
So, in order to avoid the situation where it's posted on KPFTX, the last time this committee met, I couldn't find the login instructions. Today I found it by going to kpftx.org. Is there a better way for people that are on the committee that are actually supposed to be in the Zoom to get the instructions to connect?
Are you not getting the auto reminder, Stuart?
May I answer that?
I'm not sure.
Go ahead, Adriana.
Well, the main thing is that the secretary confirmed all the names to Otis. And I believe that your name is in the list that we already have there. Check, because you will receive automatic reminders from KPFT a week before, I think that the day before and the date of the meeting at 5 a.m. with all the information.
Three different reminders?
I just checked his name. His name is not on it.
Oh, that's why.
I feel better.
Okay.
Thank you, Linda.
You're welcome.
I was going to say, one I could see missing. Three, I'm not sure I could miss three. But yeah. If I could get added to that, then I won't have to go to KPFTX because it may not be posted. Thank you.
Well, I can see it right now. I took a picture.
I checked it also, Adriana. I checked it. Your name is on.
Yes, your name is on.
Okay.
I can see it here.
I'll double check. Thank you.
Well, time out since we've been having list issues. Lyndon, where did you not see it?
It was on a email sent at 2:08 from,
Never mind about that. Yeah. Okay.
But that had information. That had the link, the Zoom link that I used.
I know. I forwarded it and I'll tell you why at any rate, talk about it later. It's on the no reply list.
But be sure, be sure, Stuart, that you open it or check in your you know, whatever, junk box or whatever, because that is automatic and we receive it. Everybody receive it and all the information is there. Okay?
So I, both Teresa and I have got to go to another meeting. So I'm going to respectfully request a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn.
Sorry, Adrian, adjourn. Okay, is there any objection?
No.
Hooray. Okay. You. See you soon.
Bye.
Thank you all.
Stuart, you're there was on the one that your name was on, it didn't have the link to get onto the Zoom call.
Okay. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone.